We're beginning the study this morning on rebuke, the devourer. And this morning's lesson will be Christian stewardship. And I want to tell you just a little bit about what we're going to be looking at tonight. And then next week, I plan on it being four messages, all concerning stewardship. Now, I've been here over 4 months, and the Lord has just now released me to be able to talk and to teach about finances some. And I'm not complaining. I want that understood. I think that we have done a lot of work in the realm of what we have accomplished here. And I'm excited. So what I'm sharing with you, I don't want you to think that I'm after you or getting after you or coming down on you in the area of your giving. I want you to know that I am well pleased with the amounts that we're having. But there are some who need some instructions in this area. We're going to touch it, and you're going to learn something about giving in the kingdom of God. I've asked several, had you been instructed in these areas? And they say no, that it's been mentioned sort of casually, but never shown and instructed what the Word of God has to say about offerings and tithes and giving in the kingdom of God. So this morning's lesson will be a very, very basic foundation study. It won't surely be one of those hooping and hollering and shouting messages, which I preach very few of. It'll be a kind of a thing that you can begin to look at stewardship and begin to build upon what I'll be sharing with you. Build upon, because stewardship, you're going to see today, you can be a servant of the Lord and still be cast into outer darkness because you do not appropriate what God has given you properly. Is that heavy?
Yes.
We're going to see that. We're going to see an individual who is a 30-folder cast out into darkness. But let me go over real quick with you, because as I go through this, I'm not going to want to stop at the end of the message and tell you what we're going to be touching. But today we'll be looking at Christian stewardship. Then tonight we're going to be looking at Jesus, Lord of our finance. That should be a two-part message. So we'll get it tonight and then again next Sunday morning. And then I'll end up with the fourth message, which is three dimensions of tithing. The third dimension is you become a tithe. Now, I know you've never been instructed on that. You don't just pay tithe, nor do you just give tithe. You become a tithe. So I'll be showing you that. But let me show you just a little bit real quickly. So turn in your Bible to Malachi. Now, we were there just a little bit last week, and I want to show you just a little bit more of what we're going to be looking at tonight. Book of Malachi, it's the last Old Testament book. And I want chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 7. Even from the days of our fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Somebody answer that. A man will rob God. Yet God says, you've robbed me. But you say, wherein or how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. Why? Because of tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole denomination. I mean nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. No other place in the Word of God does God challenge you to prove Him. No other place. God challenges you to prove Him if you're a tither. And you try that if you're not. Prove me herein, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer. Now that right there is the key verse of this whole study. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, who is he rebuking the devourer for? The tither or the non-tither? So then if we tithe, we can expect him to rebuke the devourer. If we do not tithe, what can we expect? The curse. He will not rebuke the devourer. Now, do you see how important this is that we understand some things about giving? I am tired of seeing God's people roughshod and ran over by the devourer. And you should be too. Because some of you fit in that category. The fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time. In the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. And let's do it like we do it. All denominations shall call you blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, delightsome church, saith the Lord of hosts. How would you like that? How would you like for all the denominations in this city to call us blessed? Because we're doing something. We're blessed. The devourer has been rebuked for our sakes. And we're doing something. We're shaking this city. We're turning it upside down. We're doing something in the kingdom of God. Blessed is First Assembly of God. Back up two books to Malachi. Haggai. Two books backwards. Show you what the people of God has done. Now, Haggai was a prophet, and I'll be repeating a lot of this tonight, but I just want you to show you what we'll be doing tonight, because I want to show you the importance of you hearing this and being here. Haggai was a prophet raised up of God, and at the time that Ezra and Zerubbabel came to build the temple, the people got slack. And they were taking the monies and the appropriations that they should be giving to the house of God to build the temple and the house of God. They were taking it and building them fine paneled houses. Does it sound like anything that you ever see today? Verse 2, chapter 1, Haggai. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. But the time has come, hasn't it? The time has come to build the house. It was then and it is now. It's time to build the Lord's house. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed, that means paneled, houses, and the house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. They're getting it, and they're sowing it, but it's reaping such a little harvest. A lot of Christians today are sowing much, but they're reaping so little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, does this sound like people today? He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Where does your money go? Can you tell me? It's like you take it and you put it in the bag and it's got holes in it and you can never make ends meet. That's the curse. Cursed with a curse. Now, is this an important study? Are you seeing that I am not trying to dig out of you monies? I am trying to show you the principles of God concerning giving and stewardship and rebuking the devourer in your life. It's simple. If you give by Bible principles, he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And if you don't, a Bible principle is, he will not. Now that's not complicated. Right. Now let's get into what we're going to look at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I am astounded and I marvel at the people of God today. People have not yet come to the realization that once you come into the kingdom of God, you are not yours. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price, a great price. The price that was paid for you translated you, transferred you from one kingdom into another. Now, you're a servant of one kingdom or the other, whether you want to be or not. There is no gray area. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of darkness. You're in one or you're in the other. You will not find gray in the Word of God. You're either in light or you're in darkness. And what happened at conversion and water baptism is you was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are no longer your own. But how many Christians say this? Mine, mine, mine. My church, my denomination, my pastor. How many? Does it sound like the Christian world today? Let's bring it home. My house, my family, my money, my life. Is that the Christian world today? My life, mine. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are whose? God's. But would you believe it? Or could you tell it by looking at the majority of the Christian world today? No, you can't tell it. The majority of them, if they want to go to church today, they'll go. It's my life. I'll do what I want to. If I want to pay tithes, I will. If I don't, I won't. It's my life. I'll do what I want to. We have been so perverted in our thinking. If I want to get water baptized, I will. My. But whose are you? God's. Now, we have got to get a realization on that. We have not yet come to that point in the world, Christian world as a whole. It is still mine. We're still building our panel-sealed houses and allowing the house of God to stand desolate. And I'm preaching to myself. My personal house, 155 miles from here, is larger than this church. How about you? Can you be that honest? Well, let me tell you something. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to show you what's happened to you at water baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ is a legal term. And it's the same term that is used for the transaction of transferring property. You were transferred from the kingdom of God into the kingdom of... You were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God at water baptism, legally. Now, when your spirit was converted, in your spirit, it was a transaction. But the legal sealing of that thing, as far as the Satan is concerned and the spirit world is concerned, took place at water baptism. You were baptized into the name of, just as you was to sell a piece of property to somebody. that piece of property would be changed from your name into that person's name. You were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? I bet most of you didn't even know that. And we've been water baptized and water baptized, and we don't even know that legally we've been transferred and moved from a property of Satan to the property of God. Turn on over to Acts chapter 8. I'll show you this isn't just a one time. I'll give you three of these scriptures. Acts chapter 8. Boy, Acts is a good book. We have really enjoyed this study that we've been going through on Acts. Verse 16. For as yet he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Property transferred kingdoms. Chapter 10. This is Cornelius. And if you think what a baptism is, as if you want to, you better read this verse. And he, verse 48, chapter 10, 48, and he, speaking of Peter, commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Was it if they wanted to be? He commanded them property transferred kingdom. When you were water baptized, you were legally taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. Do you see that? You are no longer Satan's. You are adopted into the kingdom of God. You have now been bought with a price, purchased, and you become a servant or a steward into the kingdom of God. But by looking at the majority of the Christian world in their lives, I can't tell any difference. Is that right? Turn over to Colossians real quick. I wasn't going to turn to this one. I just want you to see it. That there was a point in time when you were transferred, translated into, from one kingdom to another. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Well, let's back up to verse 12 so we can get a running start on it. 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That word translated would better be interpreted transferred. It happened at water baptism. It was the legal transaction from one kingdom into the other. In the spirit realm, it legally happened. You went in that water with somebody as your father, Satan. You come out, adopted into the kingdom of God, and you had a brand new father. You went in the property of the kingdom of darkness. You come out the property of the kingdom of light. You went in the master with Satan being your master. You come out with Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. My brother-in-law was in the United States Marine Corps. And he had this sweatshirt. And it said, property of the United States Marine Corps. But I've learned there's a higher power. There's a higher authority. There's a higher owner. There's a higher rulership. His name is Jesus. He is Lord. He's my master. I don't want to serve Satan. I want to serve the one who defeated Satan. I want to serve Jesus. He's my Lord. When I came up out of that water, I come out of Satan's kingdom. I come into the kingdom of his dear Son. And here I stand. And that same thing happened to you. Legally transferred. But you look at the majority of the Christian world today, you can't tell any difference. They're servants, they're stewards, but you can't tell it. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 25, and this is where we'll stay. We're going to be looking at the steward. What is a steward? And while you're doing that, I'm going to go to 1 Peter and just read you a scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 is what I'll be reading. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. We are told by Peter to be good stewards. Good stewards. But you need somebody to tell you what a steward is. Has anybody ever told you what a steward was? Then you won't know what to be until somebody tells you. How lovely are the feet of them that bring the good news that explains these things. Be as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're told by Peter to be good stewards, and we're also taught by Jesus about being a steward. Now the dictionary definition of a steward is this. A steward is a person entrusted with the management of estates or affairs, not his own, an administrator. You're entrusted with something that's not your own. And then the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, number 3623, which is steward in the Greek, means a house distributor, in effect a manager, or overseer, in effect an employee in that capacity, a fiscal agent, a treasurer. You are a house. Are you a house? Has God chosen to dwell in you? You are a house. You are the steward then of that house. And the things that you are steward over is your mind. You control what you think. You control what you do not think. You are stewards over your body. You control what your body does. You control what your body does not do. You see, it's just not money. You are a steward of the house of God. It branches out into your home life. Fathers, mothers, and children. Fathers are stewards of the whole household. Then it branches down to mothers and their responsibilities. And then the children are responsible for certain things. They're stewards. We bring that to church. There's pastors, deacons, and elders, and saints. We all have our responsibility and our stewardships. So you see, it just doesn't talk about money. And I want to make sure you see that. This is the foundation. It is everything you do in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, do it as unto who? The Lord. Whether it's word, whether it's deed, whatever you do, be a good steward. Let me give you these scriptures. You're steward over your bodies in Romans 6, 19 and 20. And in that scripture, we won't turn to it. It's just talking about at one time your members of your body served Satan. Served the kingdom of darkness. But now make them yield to the kingdom of light. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says to present your body a living sacrifice. Who presents it? You do. You're the steward of it. You got to present it. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. And that's your reasonable service. We read that one in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God has chosen to dwell in you. Be a good steward of it. It's like we taught about Halloween. We fill a kid with the Holy Ghost, and then we hang a devil's costume on top of him. Be a steward of it. We're stewards of our minds. Romans 12, 2. Be renewed in your mind. Be transformed in your thinking. Who's going to do it? You're going to do it. It just don't snap, snap, happen, happen. You bring it under subjection. You're the steward of it. Am I getting this across to you? These things just don't snap, snap, happen. You're legally moved, but until you become the steward of your household and bring your body under subjection, Paul says he beat his daily. It's not easy, but neither is it impossible. You're the steward of your spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Now, this is what we're going to be looking at today. You're the steward of your abilities. And we're going to look at tonight, you're the steward of your prosperity. But right now, I want to get on this one. You're the steward of your abilities. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. Let's read verse 14. For the kingdom of God will one day be... For the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven will one day be... For the kingdom of heaven will one day be... For the kingdom of heaven will one day be... Is that what that says? What does it say? Is. Is. There is an aspect of the kingdom of God that is. Not out there one day over yonder. The kingdom of God is over and over and over and over, Matthew 13. It is, it is, it is, it is. Where is the kingdom of God? Somebody tell me. Within you. This is not its fullness of its state, but it begins in you. How in the world are you going to rule and reign with Christ if you can't rule and reign your own body? How are you going to rule and reign cities and nations and countries if you can't rule your own mind? How are you going to tell somebody else what to do when your children won't obey you? Where does it start? In you. And the kingdom of God is today. Get out of over there. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The man in this parable is the Lord Jesus. He went into a far country, which is his throne. His country is his throne. Heaven, if you want it that way. Who called his own servants. Who will that be? Us. And delivered unto them his goods, the things of the kingdom. Now, is that what happened? Is that what he did? Occupy till I come. He gave us the things of the kingdom. He gave us all of his teaching. He gave us all of his words. He gave us his apostles. He gave us his prophets. He gave us his evangelists. He gave us the five gifts to the church of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. He gave us himself. He gives us our abilities. Well, now let me eradicate that statement. He gives us talents according to our abilities. All right, so we see what we're really talking about. Verse 15. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, how many people did he give talents to? How many? Three, right? One he gave one, one he gave two, one he gave five. Do you remember the teaching that I showed you up here about the spiritual growth of an individual? Of the maturity of the believer? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Do you remember that? Do you see that there? There's a 30-fold Christian. He is only worthy because his abilities is only reached to that one talent state. There's a 60-fold Christian. More mature. Holy place. Two talent states. Then there's the matured Christian, hundredfolder, in that hundredfold realm. He's given five, and where much is given, much is required. So if you can see it that way, it'll open this teaching up to you. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And he gave them those talents according to their what? Abilities. Now, talents here is a weight of money. It's like you take gold and it's $40 an ounce. All right? A talent was a weight of money. That's what he's really talking about here. What he's really talking about is money. That's what he's talking. But you can use this in any realm whatsoever you desire. I was sharing with my wife just this morning. Told her there was a place right after I was converted. I was in that 30-fold realm. I did not know the Word of God. I was unskilled. Didn't know a thing about it. 8 years later, I know what I know. By the grace of God, I know it. But I know what I know because I applied it and I studied it. And I grew. I'm no longer in that 30-fold realm. And if talents were now given to me, I wouldn't get one. Do you see what I'm saying? You're the same way. You're going to get your talent according to the ability in which you have applied to the kingdom of God. And you can sit on your rumpus and get one talent. Or you can get after it and get into the kingdom of God and get busy with Him and do something and get two or five. It's up to you. But you will be rewarded according to your abilities. And how are you going to get your abilities? Don't we pray sometimes, oh Lord, oh God, let me do this. Give me this, give me this. Oh, it don't work that way. I'm learning to play the trumpet. But do you think God zapped it on me? I sound bad sometimes, but I'm learning to play the trumpet. Do you think the knowledge that I have of this thing just one day happened? I applied myself. You apply yourself. It's the same principle. You are given talents. You are given your worth according to the abilities. And you get the abilities. I just want to feel like I need to really emphasize that thing. I wasn't clear trying to explain it to Judy this morning. Your abilities, you get. Which determines the talent, monies, whatever, however you want to put it, that will come to you. God gives that. The Lord gives you the talents, but you get the abilities. Do you see that? Let's read verse 15. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. To every man, or to some of them. How many got talents? How many? All of them. Everybody in this room has been given a talent. Am I right or wrong? How many? Everybody that has been transferred into the kingdom becomes a servant and is then given talents. And as you grow and your ability increases, more talents. Are you with me? Verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded. And that word traded in the Greek means to toil. As a task, occupation, etc. The lexicon works, it says, to work, to labor, to acquire by labor. How did he get it? He worked. You see, it wasn't just zapped on him because he had favor in God's eyes. He traded, he toiled, he worked, he labored. What I've got out of this word and can now stand before you and share and pour myself out to you did not come easily. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of hours invested in this book. I worked, I toiled, I cried, I prayed. I studied. I'm not too lazy to study. Most Christians are too lazy to study. He went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. But he that had received one went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. How many today are taking the Lord's money, digging it into your earthen vessel, and hiding it there? My, my, my. Me, me, me. Mine, mine, mine. How many? Thank you, Fred. I need that. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. After 1,000 years. After 2,000 years.
doesn't say, but you better believe he's coming. And there's a day of reckoning. And do you know what that word reckoning means? It comes from two Greek words. One means to compute, and the other one means logos, or the something being said, the word of God. He will compute our reckoning according to the word of God. There's a day of reckoning coming. And it come on all of these, didn't it? Or was it just some of them? Well, some of us escape the judgment seat of Christ. We seem to act that way and think that way. We can do my way and do it the way that I want to do it and go to church if I want to go and praise Him if I want to praise Him and sing choruses if I want to sing them and, you know, be nice if I want to be nice. Pay tithes if I want to pay tithes. And so he that had received, and that's the Greek word lambano, means to grab a hold of, get it. He that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. Now that's a hundredfolder. A hundredfolder gets after it. A hundredfolder don't wait around. One translation says that he immediately went out and began to trade. Immediately. How can you tell a hundredfolder? He ain't wasting time. He knows that the Lord's coming and he wants to be ready. He's preparing his house. He's going after it. That's the hundredfolder. Now look at the judgment that he got. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. How many would love to hear those words at the judgment seat of Christ? Well done, thou good and favorite, my good and faithful servant. If you want to hear that, raise your hand. I want to get a commitment from you. Some of you don't. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, because you have been faithful over these things, then I'll let you rule over many. That's not what we hear today. All we hear today is that if I will confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart, then I'll rule and reign with Him. No, buddy. You got some proving to prove. You got some showing to show. The Living Bible says his master praised him for good works. How would you like to be praised by God? Praised him for his good works. Jerusalem Bible says, you have shown you can be faithful. How can I tell if you're going to be faithful? You will show me. Is that wrong? You have shown you can be faithful in small things. I will trust you with greater. Are you going to rule and reign with him if you can't rule your own mind? If you can't rule your own finances? If you can't rule your own children? Will you? You won't do it. You'll never rule and reign with Christ until you rule and reign yourself first. Verse 22, let's look at the 60-folder. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Same thing. That's good, isn't it? Now, did both of them bring an increase into the kingdom of God? Can we safely say then that what the Lord gives us, He wants us to increase, and the reason that He wants us to increase it is for the kingdom of God? Or for yourselves? Kingdom of God. Because if you're still trying to take care of yourself, you're not going to produce and put anything into the kingdom of God. You're going to dig a hole in your very life, and you're going to put all your monies, all your talents, all the things that God's given you into yourself. And you know what you're going to get? You're not going to get anything, but you'll also be cast out into outer darkness. Let's read it. Is this the word of God? is those in red letters in your Bible. Who said it? I didn't say it. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is here. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Was he a servant? But what does the words of Jesus say about him? Wicked and slothful. That word wicked means hurtful, in effect evil, calamitous, ill, diseased, deserving blame, neglectful of obligations, and vicious. If you took a poll and you put them on a scale and you put all of those that fit into the one talent category on this side, and then you put all of those in the kingdom of God and the church world today on the side that there was two and five talents on, what would the scale do? My right hand or my left hand will tilt. Am I right? The word slothful means tardy. Now listen to this word. The word slothsome means irksome. Irksome. If you are not applying your talents, you're just taking what God gives you and digging it in a hole and hiding it for yourself. What does he say that you are? Irksome. Now, this, I'm not making this stuff up. I really get your Greek word studies out and look some of these words up. You'll see it. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money. You see, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him. This is the one that has the one talent. Take it from him and give it unto him which hath ten. He's going to take the one from the 30-folder and give it to the 100-folder. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Do you get that? Now we are in a mentality that because we're downtrodden and we're just kind of traveling through this world of sorrow, that because of that, God's just going to zap us with a blessing. But what I see here is that the fellows that get after it increase their abilities, they are the ones that are given the talents, the blessings. And what you don't increase, he's going to take it away from you. Give it to those that do increase it. And then verse 30. And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that mean what I think it means? Can you see how important an understanding of stewardship is to us today? Now, we can understand all I've said, but not apply it, and it still isn't worth a hill of beans. We've got to learn to apply what God tells us to apply. And as God opens this word more and more and more, every week we come together, every time we come together, if we don't take it and apply it to our lives, it ain't no good. Are you a steward? All right, now you can be one, two, or three. But you're one of them. And who determines? Yourself. So Brother Young, you're putting all the weight right on me. You doggone right I am. right where it needs to be. There ain't no magic in this thing. You don't wiggle your nose like Samantha did, and it happened. You take the Bible principles, you get a Bible result. If you fail from going Bible principles, you'll still get what the Bible says the results will be. You build your house upon the rock, Jesus said, your house will stand. If you don't build it upon the rock, what'll happen? It will fall. Both of those are Bible principles, Bible promises. You do it His way, it'll come out good. You do it another way, cast out into outer darkness. Now, I want to show you this, and I'm done. There will be a separation at the coming of the Lord. Sheep and goats. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all denominations. And He shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, which are the sheep, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed. Now, how do you get cursed? Malachi chapter 3. Huh? Tithes and offerings into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Will there be a separation? You see, all of this is in the same context as in the same thought. You're a steward. You have been given authority over your house. You can be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, 30 folders can still produce. Doesn't mean all the 30 folders are going out into outer darkness. This one did. I'm trying to open the thinking up to you and let you see this thing is not cinched. Just because you're sitting in those pews today does not cinch you into going into the kingdom. Is that right? That's right. Tonight we'll go in further. We'll get into the actual thoughts of finances and look at Malachi and a whole bunch of other scriptures. We'll see what Jesus actually said in the New Testament about tithing. We'll see a lot of things. You need to know these things. Stand with me.